Welcome to the Flowing with the Sky Clock podcast, the show in which we explore different ways of aligning our energy, activities, inner work, and daily life with Earth's natural flow and the Sky Clock's astrological rhythm. I'm Anna, a passionate astrology enthusiast and natural cycles explorer, and I invite you to join me on this journey where I will try to create a more balanced, graceful, and joyful living using the timeless wisdom of a sky clock. Hello, beautiful friends and strangers. My name is Anna, and this is the second episode of Flowing with the Sky Clock podcast. And just as I promised in the previous episode, today I will give you a very brief introduction to zodiac signs. Well, in my case, very brief might be an overstatement. Let's focus on brief. I will try to give you the basics of the language and tools to intuitively understand zodiac signs. But before we jump into the language elements, I would like to remind everyone what zodiac signs are and where are they actually coming from. So 12 zodiac signs in astrology represent 12 different personality types. Those are the archetypes of people that we more or less meet in the world. Of course, this is a simplification. Not everyone is an archetype that is symbolized by the sun in our chart. We have a mix of those archetypes or zodiac signs in our chart due to the fact that our birth charts contain all 12 of them. So there are areas of our life where we might act like Aries, and there are areas in our life when we might act like Capricorn, which is maybe for some people a hard pill to swallow. But I think that it is important to realize that we contain all of those 12 archetypes within ourselves. And embracing them helps us to understand ourselves better, but also to understand others better. So zodiac signs are coming from the sky, not on a spaceship. They are actually constellations. Currently, I believe we have 88 defined constellations that are observable from planet Earth, but in astrology we use only 12. And those 12 constellations are the ones that are on the ecliptic. Now, ecliptic is the route, the circle, the eclipse of our path around sun throughout the year. We move in a more or less circle or ecliptic around the sun. Of course, from our perspective, it's the sun that is moving, not us. We have a very first example is what we observe throughout the day. We see the sun rising in the east and setting on west, and we see it is changing its position throughout the day. But it's not actually the sun that is changing that position. It's we on planet Earth, our planet Earth, who is changing that position. So if we look at constellations, if we have a telescope or just a great imagination, I guess, or an app on a phone that can actually help us, we could see that the sun would be in those constellations throughout the year. Other constellations that we see further that are not on the sun's ecliptic are just there, and we know them. There is a Orion, for example, constellation. I think it's quite known in our culture. So there is a lot of them, but we count only the 12 of them. This means that the sun goes through 12 different kingdoms, 12 different zodiac signs throughout the year. And it spends roughly 4 weeks in each constellation from our point of view, from our perspective. So that means that if you were born, let's say, between 20 of May and 20 of June, your sun sign is Gemini, because this is the constellation in which the sun was when you were born. This is the most easy to identify component of your birth chart, because it's a common knowledge where the sun is. And even if you don't remember, you open any magazine, any internet page, and you can just check it. So we are all collectively more or less aware what are our sun signs, and we call them our zodiac signs. But just like sun from our earthly perspective moves throughout constellations, so is moon, so is Mars, Venus, Mercury, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pluto is still a planet in astrology. I know. Don't kill me. I know what they did to him in astronomy, but in astrology, Pluto is still considered a planet. This means that you have that each of the planet has a sign in your chart. So you might be Aquarius sun, but maybe your Venus is Capricorn. And that's the first interesting component of all those archetypes meeting together in your personal birth chart. So now I guess we know, where do zodiac signs come from? So maybe now we can jump into learning how to intuitively feel which archetype represents what. Because each archetype has a specific set of characteristics, has a personality, temperament, energy that comes with it. And it is not necessarily something you need to learn by heart. There is a logic to it. That's the language aspect of astrology. When I was younger, I was learning this by heart because I didn't know any better. So I was reading about the zodiac signs. And then the easiest way is, of course, if you have people with those certain zodiac signs in your life, so you can remember better or relate those archetypes to those people. So I was from the beginning quite familiar with Aquarius because I'm an Aquarius sun. And that was easy for me to understand that archetype. Same with Virgo. I had in my early childhood, my two best friends were Virgo girls. My first boyfriend was a Virgo. I had another partner who was a Virgo. I had a very good friend in high school who was a Virgo. Now my current partner is actually Virgo Leo cusps. So this sign repeats in my life quite profoundly. And that's why I intuitively understand Virgos. But, for example, I never really hang around with Capricorns or Sagittariuses or Libras, so that required me to memorize their characteristics until I started to study astrology, and I realized that those signs, their characteristics are coming from a combination of elements, modalities, and polarities. And this is what I'm going to tell you today about. So I guess first we will start with modality. Modality is the way you start, the way you continue, or the way you finish. It's your approach to life, in a sense. This is your general approach of how you act. This is your modus operandi. This is how you execute things. In astrology, and anywhere else, by the way, we have three modalities: cardinal, fixed, and mutable. Three modalities create something that in astrology we also called, and now bear with me because it's a difficult word to pronounce, quadruplicities. Because if we have three modalities and 12 zodiac signs, it means that we have three groups of signs, and each group has four signs in it. So there are four cardinal signs, four fixed signs, and four mutable signs. And those are families of modalities. Now, what is cardinal? cardinal is the way you start. So those are the signs who are by nature initiators. And in astrology, we consider cardinal signs as Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. And it's actually easy to remember because those are the signs that start the seasons of the year. So in Western Hemisphere, the spring starts with Aries, the summer starts with Cancer, autumn with Libra, and winter with Capricorn. So those are the initiators. And I think this is the really easiest way to remember what cardinal means. So cardinal means initiate the seasons, but they also initiate anything else. They symbolize the action, the impulse to break to a new ground. And it's said that they keep actually civilization forever moving in a new direction. So they are our starters. They are happiest when they are doing something new. Starting a company, starting a new job, starting a family, starting a relationship, starting a business idea. They love to start things. And that energy is very active, very moving forward. And they are actually deactivators within Zodiac. Apologies for that. I will not cut it out. So we will have to survive this little... So as an initiators, they are willing to go somewhere where no one else is. And because of that, they can also be a bit territorial, because if they go somewhere first, if they initiate, they have to claim it. So those signs can be a bit territorial. The drawback or the shadow side of the cardinal signs is the tendency to start too many things at once and unable to complete any of them. So they might literally start 5 different things and then lose interest because they want to start something new again. I like this example from the workplace. So if you work in an organization or corporation, you will get it. Those are actually our executives, the top management, coming up with new directions, new strategies, new markets, new reorgs, new this, new that. So that would be the group of cardinal signs in the corporate setting. Next, we have the fixed signs, and those are Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius, also known as the heart of the season. So again, if we come back to the seasons of the year, those are the months where the season that we are in really blooms with its core energy and fulfills itself. So Taurus is the time when spring is in full swing and everything grows and the weather is already great. Leo is the heart of the summer. Scorpio is the heart of the autumn, if autumn has one. Well, of course it has. And Aquarius is the heart of the winter. So the fixed signs are in the middle. They are responsible for making that energy last. They are the signs that keep on going. So if we again look at the example from the corporations, if we look at executives with an idea, then those are the managers or project managers who are responsible for organizing that idea, gathering resources, and making it happen. So basically, those signs have a natural knack for optimizing things. They work with what they were given and they make the best out of it. I also like to call them process managers because they are trying to figure out the most effective way of doing the ordinary, mundane, day-to-day tasks. Well, weirdly, I was working as a process manager for many years and I'm Aquarius Sun. And my best friend, Leo Rising, Leo Sun, was also a process manager. So there is something into it. So they are the signs that are giving that stability to keep on going. they will put that idea into some form of realization. The drawback, of course, is fixed means sometimes stubborn. So they are having a tendency to be a bit stubborn and hard to move in their actions and in their opinions. They build and they optimize, but are not necessarily happy with starting something new. And they also have problem with delegating duties and seeing other points of view. But without them, ideas would be just floating around and nothing would be really initiated. So that is the nature of the fixed signs. And then we have the signs that are mutable. And those signs are Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces. And again, if we come back to the seasons of the year analogy, then we can intuitively understand that mutable means transformational. Those are the signs that are standing at the end of each season and preparing us for the new one. So Gemini, symbolizing the end of spring and the beginning of summer. Virgo is where we are saying goodbye to summer and embracing autumn. Sagittarius is when we are saying goodbye to autumn and opening our hearts, hopefully, for winter. And then during the Pisces season, we are saying goodbye to winter and preparing for spring. So those are the signs on the threshold of a change. And because of that, they are called the transformational signs. They thrive on change. Their natural instinct is to change. And if that was a company setting, again, coming back to our fantastic example from the corporate world, because why not? Those would be the implementators, the implementation managers, the communication managers, those who are taking the ready product and are pushing it to the world, making sure that it's complete, that actually it is useful. And by this, they are making a space for a new idea to come from the cardinal signs. So it's a beautiful relation between those three different signs. So they push the essence of things forward. But because of that drive for constant change, they also can get disorganized, undependable, and they might lack initiative because they are working with already things. And they also have, in the extreme side, inability to commit because they are always on the lookout for something new. So those are typically those who really think that the grass is greener on the other side, and they will really constantly try to go on the other side and move from the current situation to the new one. But we need all of those components. And I think it's really beautiful how they come together. And if you want to remember the order is quite simple. The first thing you need to remember that we always start with Aries, and Aries is cardinal. So cardinal, fixed, mutable. Cardinal, fixed, mutable. If you know that Aries is cardinal and you know all the 12 signs, you can always identify quite easily what modality each sign have. The other thing, which might be even easier, is to look at the seasons of the year and try to realize, okay, which sign is this sign starting the season, or is it finishing the season, or is it in the middle? Because the beginning of the season is the cardinal, the heart of the season is the fixed, and the end of the season and transformation into the new one is the mutable. The last note on the modalities, unfortunately, those groups are quite competitive within their own environment, which means that cardinal signs might not get along, fixed signs might not get along with themselves, and so do mutable because they compete over the resources. Let's imagine a project that needs to be started, continued, and implemented when you have four cardinal signs sitting on it. Everyone wants to start. Everyone wants to push the idea that they want, but no one is willing to work with it forward. If you have a project team that consists of all the fixed signs, who is going to start? No one wants to start. We are comfortable with, you know, optimizing what is given to us. And let's not get started on mutables. They will all just run away from the room after 5 minutes. Nothing would happen. So in this way, the quadruplicities are not necessarily compatible with each other. They can get competitive with each other. And now we will go to the second element of astrology language that will enrich your understanding of the signs. We will talk about elements. So when modalities are more responsible for the way the signs execute things and approach life on a daily basis, elements are saying something about temperament. What kind of emotion or a thought, what moves you, what gives you that personality vibe you have. And we have four elements in astrology that we recognize, and that's fire, earth, air, and water. And this means that here we are creating triplicities. So as we have four elements, we divide the 12 zodiac signs by four, and we end up with the group of three. And then when you actually put it together, you will discover that there is always fixed fire, cardinal fire, mutable fire, cardinal water, fixed water, mutable water, and so on. So they have a unique pair of element and modality, and that makes them very different from each other. Although, of course, they have the common point, the quadruplicity and triplicity. So let's start briefly with the elements. Let's start with fire. And we start with fire also to make it a bit easier for you, because the first zodiac, Aries, is a fire sign. So it's a cardinal fire. So fire signs are Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. And what they have in common is that by this, and again, I would like to underline, this is very general, very simplistic view of this. It doesn't mean that everyone who has a lot of fire acts exactly like that. Let's take it more as tendencies. But the fire signs are the signs who would be defined by, I imagine. Those are the visionary signs. Those are the dynamic, passionate signs. And to maybe make it easier for you, try to think about fire. What is fire? How does it feel? How do you feel in its presence? What does it symbolize to you? Because that's actually the best exercise. Instead of me telling you what it means, you can actually reflect within yourself what fire means to you. So for me, fire gives warmth and comfort, especially in winter or on a cool summer evening. It's really nice to have a little fire so you can stay longer outside. Fire brings light in the darkest moments. That's a light of hope, that spark of hope. It can cook your food. It can cook your water. It can save your life. But fire is also destructive. It can burn your house to the ground. It can burn forests. It can burn the whole earth if there is no way to stop it. So fire, like any element, will have two sides of it. So fire people tend to be very passionate and very dynamic, because fire itself gives us that very dynamic vibrate. And by this, they are considered to have a very strong leadership abilities. And that, I think, it's because of that sparkle, all that light in darkness, or the light at the end of the tunnel. I think that that's also from where the visionary quality of the fire comes from. Fire can be very warm, very comforting, especially in the colder months, and can generate a lot of vibrancy. We feel hot where we are in love, where we are embarrassed, when we are going through emotions. That's the reaction of our body. We fire up. That's why those three zodiac signs, Aries, Leo, and Sag, are considered to be very passionate. They are also very enthusiastic and friendly. You usually notice them in the room. They are the first people you will notice in the room, because they will be in a way flashy and fiery. So they draw attention of everyone inside a room or a situation. But also with that, let's not forget, comes the darker side of the fire signs. So of course, they can be quite destructive, because if they burn too much, they can lash out on people. They also have a tendency for self-destruction. They can be a bit too confident, which will come with arrogance. They might have a lot of opinion. I think this group of signs, that fire element, they like to use a lot of "I know the way. I know how this should be done," and so on. So they can be very opinionated. And in extreme cases, they can be quite bossy, quite demanding, and even tyrannical. But they are a force of nature. And just as they have the dark side, they have this absolutely wonderful vibrancy, vision, and comfort that they bring. So fire is, I imagine. And now we go to a very different element, but that's the second element, and that's earth. Earth signs are Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn. And if we think about earth, what do we see? What do we feel? What do we think of? Well, first and foremost, it's the soil. The soil that everything grows on. So earth brings us food, brings us all the nature, makes actually life here on earth possible. But earth also symbolizes everything we build from it. That means if we look at the skyscrapers and offices and homes and all the buildings and structures, that comes from earth. Earth is also the mountains, the fields, the forests, the jungles, everything that is very connected with our nature. So earth is a wonderful element, and it's the most concrete and stable element we have. Fire constantly flickers and moves. Air goes around like crazy. Water dissolves and escapes, but earth stays. Earth is stable. That's why earth signs are considered to be very practical, very reliable, due to that stability element. Very stable, down to earth. They are the builders and the makers of this world. They are the steward of earth resources, and they provide us with the structure and protection. That's, for example, our homes or any other structure created from the earth. I think they are sometimes considered, I know I considered earth signs sometimes boring, because due to that deep connection to the element of earth, they tend to be skeptics. So this is not typically a group of archetypes that would be interested in anything else beyond the 3D world. Again, this is not to make any simplification, it's just to describe archetype. And then we also can jump into the dark side. So they can actually be very materialistic. Those could be the most materialistic driven signs, accumulating resources, accumulating money, accumulating things, judging people through their possessions, through what they have. They can also be quite self-absorbed, especially obsessed about the way they look and others look. From more psychological point of view, they can be resistant to change. Earth is the element that is the hardest to move, so they might be considered again quite stubborn. And they also might lack imagination because they are so much in touch with the 3D element, be it the material things or just earth, because those are, by the way, the most marvelous gardeners and also green witches. So this does not rule out that they don't believe in anything beyond the 3D. It's more that they have that tendency, but they can suffer from lack of imagination sometimes, and that's due to the fact that they are focused on what they see. The verb that you describe the earth signs with would be I do. They are the makers. They do things. They make them happen. Now we will jump into air, which is totally different. And air signs are Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. And their verb that defines them the best is I think. Or alternatively, I hear you. Because those are the signs that are very good at communication. Now, again, I would like to invite you to imagine air. What do you think when you think about air? What do you feel? What do you picture? It can be a summer breeze. It can be a tornado. It can be a storm. But first and foremost, that's the oxygen we are breathing. So there is a connection with I think, therefore I am. And as air is connected with thinking, when there is no air, there is no I am. So maybe that's interested to realize. But due to the fact that air is constantly in movement, it's the only element that is for sure constantly in movement. That's why the thinking mode is associated with the air signs, because how many thoughts do we have in a minute? I think I saw some insane numbers due to some research. 60, 100 thoughts can cross your mind in a minute. That's how quick air moves, right? So they are associated with thinking, with ideas, with information, gathering information, spreading information, and they are approaching everything from the intellectual point of view. So they are also quite objective. They are the most objective group within the triplicities because they can intellectualize everything. That's their first way of approaching the world. Because they have a tendency, they have natural knack for carrying information, for sharing, spreading ideas, and for communication, they are considered also the most sociable signs. They are not as flashy and flamboyant as the fire signs, but they are going to be the one who will actually probably keep the conversation going. They are very good at public speaking, at writing, at communicating in any other way. The downside of the air signs is that they actually can get very detached. And that's because of two things. One thing is, obviously, if you are intellectualizing everything, then you might push your emotions to the background, because for you it's like intellectual Sudoku to figure out a situation. And the other thing is that because they think so much, they tend to live in their heads sometimes if they are not having a good ways of grounding themselves, like earth signs, or being more in tune with their emotions and intuition. They really can just live somewhere else all the time, and that's their head. And if you live with your in your head, it is very difficult to empathize with people because you are somewhere else. So that's one of the things that the air signs are being oftenly accused of, being detached, being insensitive towards others, either even sometimes being a bit cruel with their words. They are also quite great at being a devil's advocate due to the fact that they can intellectualize every conflict and come with the pros and cons of every person and situation. And Libra is the best at this. That's all I have to say for now about Libra, because we will continue with Libra in a couple of months. So now we are jumping to the last one, water. And water signs are Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. And the verb that describes them the best is I feel. And that's because of the nature of water. Water is the most curious element for me because I find it almost magical. Water contains, but also blends, dissolves. It's almost like a magical property. Those properties are magical for me. Water has different states. It's the most sensitive of the elements for temperature. It can freeze. It can evaporate. It can run like wild. It can be stale in the lake. But if it will be stale, it's going to drill down further and further to the bottom. Whatever you drop it in water, it's gonna contain it. So it's a very interesting element. And because of that ability of being able to spread continuously, contain everything, and dissolve everything, that's why water signs are considered to be the most empathic, because they literally can feel everything, because they can be everywhere, and then they can contain everything. So they are considered to be the sensitive signs, the emotional signs, and also because of the fact that they are very empathic, they are usually having a psychic abilities. They can be psychically gifted. Water is a very interesting element because one of my daughters is a Cancer, and I always had a problem with understanding some of the things she was feeling, or the way she was thinking, or maybe rather feeling than thinking. See, this is my Aquarius bias. But I remember when I read about water signs that because of this extreme empathic ability of containing everything that comes in their way, they can literally feel the energy of the room. They can literally go into the room, and they can feel the whole energy of everyone that is there. They can automatically detect that something is wrong, or this is a great group of people, when other signs would not even... Fire signs wouldn't even care. They would just go there to lead. Earth signs might be focused more on practical things, and earth signs would sit there trying to figure out intellectually, while the water signs would enter the room and they would naturally know, because they can feel right away. Because of that, they are also quite private and protective of themselves and their close ones. Being able to feel so much and empathize so much means that you have to protect yourself and build barriers. That's why if we look at the darker sides of the water signs is that strong defensiveness. And that defensiveness, if unchecked, can become even hostile. So they can sting you. Interestingly, well, Pisces will probably just swim away, but Scorpio and Cancer, well, watch out. So they can build high walls, tall walls, and they can have strong defenses. They can be snappy, very protective of themselves and of their families, and they might lack completely. They might completely lack any objectivity, because if they are ruled by emotions, they take everything extremely personally, and they lose sight of the other side. So that's the danger for the water signs, that they actually can be overruled by emotions and lose any rational thinking. And those are the signs that can hold a grudge, especially Scorpio. No, they can hold a grudge. But that's all about the elements. And the only thing I will add here, finishing up elements, is to tell you about the basic compatibility. So quite opposite to what was happening with modalities, the element groups, the triplicities, they actually are very compatible with each other. So all fire signs are very compatible with each other, because they have the same quality to them. Their personalities or their temper is pretty much the same. Same with air signs, earth signs, and water signs. Those signs like to hang out with each other. They are cool with each other. But then there are also two groups of each that are compatible across. So fire signs are compatible with air signs. And I think it's quite easy to imagine, especially that fire needs air, oxygen to burn. And fire cannot really harm air in any way. So they naturally get along. And same with earth and water. They also naturally get along. Water gives, basically life to earth. Earth contains water. So earth and water signs also get along. And by a process of elimination, we can figure out that air and water does not get along. Air and earth does not get along. And so on. So those are two groups, air and fire, earth and water, that do get along with themselves, and they will have some challenges to get along with the opposites. Last but not least, I would like to mention the third distinctive element of the language that will help you to understand the sign better. And here that's not going to be so long, because it's very straightforward, and those are the polarities. And if I will use the words feminine and masculine energy, I know that some people think that this is outdated. I beg to differ, but I understand that someone can be triggered. So you can also imagine yin and yang, day and night, active, receptive, extrovert, introvert. And we have six masculine / yin / active / extrovert signs, and six feminine, introverted, receptive signs. And that is going to be quite easy, because all fire and all air signs are masculine or extroverted or active, and all earth and water signs are feminine, meaning they are introverted, receptive. And this is just a general energy of the signs. So the masculine signs are considered to be, first of all, active, competitive, brave, challenging, the conquerors, the ones that go forward first. They are also considered to be extroverted, meaning they feed on energy of others. Now, the feminine signs are the receptive ones, the reflective ones, the introverted ones, the one that can spend a lot of time within themselves. They are the signs that are nurturing. They are the signs that are more empathic and embracing. So if you will just try to imagine the standard characteristics that we are assigning to the feminine and masculine energies, then you already know how does it manifest in the signs. So again, the masculine signs are the fire and air signs, and they are also compatible with each other. And then water and earth signs are the feminine signs, and they are also compatible with each other. Well, surprise, surprise, things actually make sense. So I will finish the episode here, because there is another very distinctive and important factor when we talk about zodiacs, and those are planets, because every zodiac is ruled by planet. But for that, we would need to dig into the introduction into planets, and that is already something I will plan for the future. But this should be a very good start for you for intuitive read on zodiac signs. I will have a kind of a summary, also with a visual aid. I actually made the whole wheel of 12 zodiac signs with the elements and modalities, and it's available on my website. So I will link to that in the show notes to this episode, so you can just open it up and look at it. I think it's gonna make it easier for you. I like that kind of a visual map of what is what and how does it work. And there will be some brief descriptions as well. Please remember to ask me questions if you have any, so I will answer in the next episodes. And I hope that you got a bit wiser about zodiac signs. It helped me definitely to understand the elements, modalities, and polarities. In the next episode, we are going to talk about Gemini energy, because we entered Gemini season more than a week ago. So I'm a bit delayed, like a proper Gemini, a bit delayed with that. But the next episode is going to be introduction to Gemini season. So please stay tuned and look out for the new episode. For the time being, I wish you a great rest of the night, day, wherever you are. And I will talk to you next time.